Hi everyone, my name is Jared and you're listening to the Jesus Gift Teachers Talk Through. The purpose of these talk throughs is to give you a big picture overview of each of these Bible guides so that you can feel confident sharing them with somebody you know. Today's topic is knowing God, and this is all about unpacking what does it mean to have a relationship with God. Now, for a lot of people, the idea of having a relationship with God is a baffling concept. And I think the reason for this is that for most of the time, we can't see, we can't hear, we can't touch God, at least not in the usual way that we think of these things. And so God is kind of invisible. So what would it look like to have a relationship with a being who is invisible like this? Well, that's what we're going to be unpacking in this guide. So let's begin with our intro section. And first up, you're going to ask the question, what's the difference between knowing someone and knowing about them? So ask this question and then give them some time to respond and then share what you think the difference is. Now, for me, the big difference is one of these is about information and the other of these is about a relationship. Now, in helping to explain this concept, sometimes I like to talk about a famous person that it would be true to say that I know about them, but not true to say that I actually really know them. Now, for me, I love surfing, and so I usually use someone like Kelly Slater. And I can tell you that Kelly Slater is the most famous surfer in the world. He's won the world championship 11 times, and I could tell you lots and lots of different facts and bits of information about Kelly Slater. And so it would be true to say that I know about him, but it would feel very strange to say that I know Kelly Slater. Because I've never met him, I've never talked with him, I've never been surfing with him, and so I don't really know him. And certainly if you asked him who I am, he'd probably say, Jared who? And so the big point here is that knowing about someone is knowing lots of information, but to know someone involves a relationship. And when it comes to God, what we want to do is move beyond simply knowing about God, but to actually come to the place where we know God. And that's what God is inviting us into. And so as you go through this Bible guide, you're going to be helping the person you're studying with understand that God is wanting much more from them than simply knowing about him, but God is really inviting them into a personal, deep, lifelong relationship with him. Now let's move down to the Exploring the Scriptures section. And in our first line of Bible verses, the big point that we're trying to get across here is just how much Jesus wants to be in a relationship with us. And so first up, we read Romans 5 verse 10. And the key part of this verse that we're focusing on is where it says, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. Now, you might like to ask the question, what do you think the word reconciliation means? And for me, I would just simply describe it as being the process of restoring us back to being in a relationship with God. And so here you might like to summarize some of the story of Genesis that we've talked about previously. And so in the book of Genesis, we see that God made the human race to be in a beautiful relationship with him. And we see that taking place in Genesis 1 and 2. But then when sin comes into the world and they eat that forbidden fruit, you might remember where God comes walking in the garden and Adam and Eve are hiding from him. And ever since then, ever since sin entered into our world, there's been this kind of chasm between us and God. There's been this separation between us and God. And so God had his heart and mind set on restoring that relationship. Now, the next question I would ask is, according to this verse, what did God do in order to restore that relationship? And what comes out of here is it was through the death of Jesus. And so the cross was God's way of restoring our relationship with him. Now, what this means is that if we want to have a picture of just how much God wants to be in a relationship with us, all we need to do is look to the cross. Because when we look to the cross, we see a picture of a God who's so desperate to be in a relationship with us that he would rather die upon the cross so that he can be in that relationship rather than go on into the future without that relationship. So that's a really awesome thing. Now, building upon this, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says that for the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross. And so you might ask the question, well, what was that joy that Jesus was looking forward to that enabled him to endure the awful things of the cross? Well, it was the joy of one day being able to be back in a relationship with us. That's the thing that got Jesus through the cross, wanting to be with us. I think that's awesome. Now, Revelation 21, verse 1 to 3 is in brackets. And the reason it's in brackets is because this is a Bible verse that would be great to talk about, but you might not have time to. And so this is up to you if you want to include it. Basically, this describes the new heavens and the new earth. And what's interesting about this passage is just how much relationship language you find in it. It talks all about God dwelling with us and us being with God. And it's all about the relationship coming back together. And that's the joy that Jesus was looking forward to when he was enduring the cross. In the next line of verses, you're going to have a single verse from Isaiah, Hebrews, John, and 2 Corinthians. And as you see written on your guide here, the question is, what are some of the ways that Jesus describes his relationship with us? Now, what's cool about these four verses is that each of them is referring to Jesus and describes Jesus with a different term. In Isaiah, Jesus is Father. In Hebrews, Jesus is Brother. In John, Jesus is Friend. And in 2 Corinthians, Jesus is Husband. And so Jesus is all of these things. Now, Jesus isn't literally some of these things, but I think what is the reason the Bible is using these terms is it's saying that the type of relationship that Jesus wants to have with us is kind of like all of these relationships all wrapped up together. So this would be a good place to ask a question like, why do you think the Bible has so many different words to describe Jesus' relationship with us? Now, some of the reasons that come to my mind are, number one, remember, it's hard for us to grasp what does it actually mean to have a relationship with an invisible God. And so while it's hard for us to figure that out, we do have experience with spouses and friends and fathers and brother and siblings. And so I think the Bible is using these familiar relationships to help us to understand how to have this heavenly relationship. So that's number one. So then following up from this is question number two, which is in your guide. How might these descriptions help us understand how to have a relationship with God? And so here's where it's good to have a conversation about what are the things that actually grow these earthly relationships, whether they're friendships, family relationships, or husband-wife relationships. And one of the things that comes up time and time again is communication, talking and listening. It's very hard to grow a relationship where there's no communication. It's kind of like the essential ingredient. And so if that's true for our earthly relationships, then it's also going to be true for our relationship with God. And so in order to really grow and develop our relationship with God, we're going to need to spend time, regular time with him, talking to him and listening to him. Now, the next passage you're going to read is Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. And this tells the story of Mary and Martha. And in this story, you see a real contrast between Martha, who was so busy doing things for Jesus, getting the house ready, preparing the food, trying to be this hospitable host. Whereas Mary is, at least in her sister's eyes, is doing the lazy thing, is just sitting there and talking with Jesus. And as you discuss this story, the big point that you want to make out here is that Jesus, when he went to that house, sure, it was nice having a nice clean house and it was nice having food and nothing that Martha did was particularly wrong, but Jesus didn't go there because he wanted a good meal. Jesus didn't go there because he wanted a good place to sleep. Jesus went there because he wanted to spend time with Mary and Martha. He wanted to spend time connecting with them. And the same thing is true for us today. It's very easy for us to fall into this temptation where following Jesus is all about the things that we do for God. We're busy doing things, lots of things for God. But this reminds us that first and foremost, what God most wants from us is not the things we do for him, but it's simply being with him. So again, this is reinforcing what we saw in the last verses that God wants to be in a relationship with us, And what's really important in growing that relationship is spending time with God, talking with Him, and listening to Him. So then the natural question is, well, how do we do this? How do we talk with God? And here we're going to go to the example of Jesus. And in Luke 5 and 6, we're going to look at two verses that show the type of prayer example that Jesus set for his followers. And so firstly in 5 and verse 15 and 16, I like this verse because Jesus is busy healing people, healing all these crowds of people and ministering to them. And there's all these incredible good things that he could be doing. But then just like what he taught in the previous story, Jesus puts all the things he's doing for God and for others aside, and he slips away just to spend time talking to his Father in prayer. And then in chapter 6, verse 12, we see Jesus cared so much about this that he actually spends the entire night praying to God in prayer. And so here's where you can have a good conversation about what can we learn from the example of Jesus about spending time with God. And prayer is the first key ingredient. That's how we talk to God. It's through prayer. Now, this Bible study is really just an introduction to this topic of having a relationship with God. And if prayer is something that you sense would be worth going into more detail, in the More section on the Jesus Gift website, there's a whole Bible study on prayer. And so you might, depending on where you feel the person you're studying with is at, it might be appropriate for next week's Bible study to be that prayer Bible study. Or you might feel like at this stage it's better just to continue on with a regular order. But for most people, the idea of prayer being the way that we talk to God will seem kind of obvious. But the more challenging question for people is, how do we actually listen to God? Should I be looking in the clouds for some sign? Should I be expecting some sort of weird supernatural audible voice? Or should I? How do we listen to God? Now, God does speak to us in so many different ways, but the big idea that we're going to try and get across to them in here is that one of the major ways that God speaks to us is actually through the Bible. And in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it says that God spoke to our ancestors in the past through the prophets, and in these last days, he's spoken to us through his Son. And if you think about what the Bible is essentially the records we have of how God has spoken to the prophets throughout history. In addition, where do we find the way that God has spoken to us through Jesus? It's in the story of Jesus in the Gospels and in the New Testament. And so the way that God has spoken to us is recorded right there in Scripture. And more than this, in the Bible, we don't only find the way that God spoke to us in the past, but when we actually prayerfully read the words of Scripture, God has this amazing way that he can impress things on our hearts and our minds and guide us as we read. And it becomes not just God speaking to us in the past, but actually God is continues speaking to us in the present. And so as we spend time with God in prayer and in Bible study, it's actually not just a one-way conversation, it's a two-way conversation. We're speaking to God through prayer and we're listening to him through the Bible. And here we have another verse that's in brackets, which means it's an optional one. And so if you'd like to explore a bit further about what the Bible is, and this is a verse that has been looked at in a previous Bible study, but this passage is where you look at the ideas of inspiration. All Scripture is God-breathed. It also talks about how Scripture is there to make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. You could explore how it's not just the wisdom actually comes as we enter into that relationship with Jesus and salvation springs from that. So you can have a really sort of meaningful conversation around what the Bible is and how God speaks to us through its words. And so this now would be a great spot to summarize this big idea that's just been unpacked, that even though we can't see God face to face, we can get to know him by regularly spending time with him, talking with him through prayer and Bible study, and being aware of his presence as we go about our day. And so that little summary you'll find there in your notes in the guide. You can read it or you can just summarize it in your own words as well. And so that brings us to John 15, verse 5, which talks about Jesus being like the vine and we're the branches, and about the importance of the branches being connected to the vine. And when I read this, this is a metaphor describing our relationship with Jesus, and it's this encouragement to be connected, to be in this connected relationship with Jesus. And if we do that, we will produce fruit in our life. And if we're not connected, then from a spiritual fruit producing perspective, we can do nothing. And so you might then talk about, well, what do you think it means to produce fruit as a follower of Jesus? And there's lots of things that you might answer that might come from here. I like to sort of just say fruit represents all of the wonderful things that Jesus wants to do in and through us as his followers. And in the brackets there, you've got Galatians 5, 22, 23. That describes the fruit of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And if you think about these things, who doesn't want these things in your life? Who doesn't want more love, more joy, more peace? These are precious experiences that Jesus wants us to have, and he wants us to experience these things in multiplying ways. And if we are in a relationship with Jesus, we don't even need to try to achieve these things. They just naturally start to be produced in our life. And here's where it's a really helpful thing to have a conversation about how to actually live the Christian life. And I like to explain that there's two different ways to live the Christian life. One is to look at all the things that you're supposed to do and try to do them in your own effort and your own strength and really focus on it and try your best to do those things. And that can be one of the most frustrating, miserable experiences. But the other way to live the Christian life is to focus on your relationship with Jesus. Focus on spending time each day with him, spending some time in prayer and in Bible study, talking and listening to Jesus. And the amazing thing is, when we do those things, all of those fruits, all those things that God wants us to do and to be, they just naturally spring into our life. And so you don't even really need to focus so much on them if you're focusing on Jesus. And this is where we find joy in the relationship with God. And this is where it's satisfying and it's rich and it's amazing. And that brings us to the gift of Jesus section. Again, here you can either read it word for word, or you can summarize it in your own words. Here the big idea is that it's just re-emphasizing the fact that God is passionate about relationships and about being in a relationship with us. He didn't create the world because he wanted beautiful things. He created the world because he wanted beautiful friends. He wanted to be in a relationship with us. And the reason Jesus died on the cross was because he would rather go through all of that suffering and to be in a relationship with us than to be saved from all that suffering and to miss out on that relationship. And so this is the time just to really draw their attention back to the beautiful picture of love that has been coming out of each of these Bible verses. Now, finally, that brings us to this application section, living it out. And there's three questions here. How might we move from knowing about God to knowing God? What are some practical things that we can do to grow our relationship with God? And what are you going to do this week to grow closer to Jesus? So here's where you really talk about what are some of the practical things that we can do to connect with Jesus through, remember those things, prayer, regular time in prayer and Bible study. Now, what I like to do in this situation is talk about some of my own personal experience with connecting with God through these ways. For me, it was back when I was about 15 years old where I first heard a message like this. And I took up the challenge of first thing every morning, spending time in prayer and Bible study. And I like to share just how much of an impact that has made upon my life. And so if you have any experiences or personal parts of your personal testimony you'd like to share here, that could be a really inspiring thing to do. And secondly, I like to just talk through what I personally do in as far as just from a very practical perspective in connecting with God each morning. And so for me, I say something like every morning what I try to do is I wake up at least half an hour earlier than when I would otherwise be getting up. And then I find a nice quiet place that's free from distractions, where it's just me and God and I can connect with him. And then I always start in prayer. And the reason I start in prayer is because It is God who inspired the words of this book that I'm reading, and it's God who's able to help me to understand it. And because I don't want to just read about stories of the past, I want to hear God speaking to me today. And so I begin with prayer and I ask God to speak to me and to guide me as I read the Bible. And then I get a section of scripture and I read it through, but I don't just read it and then go on and do the next thing or try to read heaps and heaps at a time. But I take a passage and then I spend some time just reflecting on it. So I might read it another maybe two or three times, and I slowly go through and I'm asking questions like, what jumps out to me? And sometimes I have a pen and I'm circling things and making notes and looking at what's jumping out of me out of the text. What don't I understand? What do I learn about God here? How do I live this out? And what is God saying to me through these words? And when I finish doing that, then I spend some time in prayer and I pray for my day and I tell God whatever's on my heart and I pray and ask God to help me to live out the things that I've been reading. And what I've found is when I do something like that each day, it's amazing how it has grown into this incredible experience with God. Now, some common questions people might ask are things like, what Bible translation should I use? And there's no sort of correct answer here, but it's helpful to encourage them to get a Bible translation that is easy to read, as well as a translation that's quite accurate. And so NIV is a great translation that I recommend people starting with, but there's other translations that would be helpful as well. Another question people have is, well, where do I start in reading the Bible? And something that a lot of people do is they just start at the beginning and they just start reading from the beginning through to the end. And something that's helpful to explain is just the fact that the Bible is not a single book, but it's a library. And just like if you went to a library, you wouldn't start at the beginning of the first shelf and just read all the way through the bookshelf. You would actually choose a book that particularly interests you to start with. And in the same way, it's good to choose a book of the Bible that interests them and to start working through that. Now, to help you with this, on the Jesus Gift website, there's a section called 10 Weeks with Jesus, and we've got a number of reading plans that you could point them to that will help them as far as knowing where to start with reading the scripture. So that really comes to the end of this teacher talk through. I hope it's been helpful. And the big idea is just remembering that when it comes to teaching the Bible to people, it's not just about teaching information. You're wanting to introduce them to Jesus. That's the goal. That's the big thing you're trying to achieve. And in this Bible study, you really get to focus on that fact. And so I hope you have a wonderful experience with it. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.